Okay. Meeting's called to order.
So can we just start going around saying names? I'm Holden.
I'm Tim Ogden.
I'm Natalie Stone.
I'm Tom Rutledge.
John Behar.
Ellie Hassenfeld.
Ari Herman.
And Lindy Miller.
And we're waiting for Greg. He's not here yet. So the first item on the agenda is the annual review and plan. Can we go around? Oh, we should have done this. We usually do this. Can we go around and just everyone say what they read of the documents that we sent? We sent a lot, so I, you know, have read everything and wrote a lot of it.
I think I read everything, but there's so many things that there may be something that I overlooked, but as far as I know, I read everything.
I read everything except the detailed insurance.
Oh, yeah, I didn't read that either.
I read most of the required reading. I skimmed a little bit at the end.
Read everything but the detailed insurance stuff.
Same.
Wow, you guys really don't care if you're insured.
Yeah, same here. I just skimmed the insurance.
Oh, okay. The treasurer's on it.
That's fine.
Yeah. Okay, good.
I read everything, but there was no way I was going to read that insurance policy.
All right, well, you guys will be glad to know that we did have a lawyer read the insurance policy. So somebody has read it besides me. All right. I think we had a couple, actually. So we're just going to do the annual review, and we wrote a lot. We've posted it all to the blog. The agenda has the super, super high-level points, which is that we think we've made substantial progress. We still have a long way to go, and it lays out what we're going to do over the next year. And so basically this is our annual review, and the goal is to, you know, really assess where we are, how staff have done, and that's going to lead into the compensation review, and also to agree on the higher level strategy and what we're doing and what we're not doing. And I know we've been, because of the monthly board calls, this may not require as much discussion as it would otherwise, because we have had a lot of talks about research versus packaging and marketing already. So, but that's, you know, I don't know, thoughts? No one has thought this is going to be a really short meeting.
I didn't find anything in the materials particularly controversial or surprising, given the conversation that we've had. So,
I have to agree. I didn't find anything surprising. I found, honestly, the plan a little bit redundant. Like, you said a lot of things a number of times, but the only thing that was sort of missing for me was the actual plan of timing for the year. So I know you said how long you thought each research thing was going to take and how you divide up your time, but, you know, unless I'm forgetting, I know you said by Thanksgiving and I saw those dates, but do we have any indication of, like, how many organizations are involved in each of these research areas that you plan on continuing through?
We don't.
Not really.
So how did you estimate the timing on these?
I mean, it's largely based on, you know, there's two aspects to our research process. There's the, I don't know what you want to call it, but the background cause-based research.
Yep.
And then the charity, specific charity-focused part of the research. And so we estimated as best we could the, you know, for the ones where we had a sense, the background part of it. And then we sort of know, based on what we find in the background, we'll devise a strategy for finding charities that's useful and fits into the time we have.
I was looking at the key dates you had. So by 9/1, you're going to complete the research. I'm just curious, given the different areas that you've delineated, i.e. sub-causes with international aid, and I understand that Natalie is going to be focusing on that, but U.S. Equality of Opportunity, disease research, and environmental issues are three big areas, and I'm curious how you're going to prioritize your time. If you know, it's already March, you have 6 months ahead of you. You've said it's going to require all of your time. What happens if, you know, you start with U.S. Equality of Opportunity and it takes you a good 4 months? Or do you then still plan to continue with the other two? I just didn't have a sense of what your strategy was.
I see. Well, maybe this will help. Like, the basic breakdown is that, you know, Natalie is going to be primarily responsible for the international work.
Right.
Simon, who's the contractor who's starting in a few weeks, we plan to be primarily responsible for the U.S. equality of opportunity stuff. And so those, the sort of the two key areas of research are going to happen in tandem. And then we try to build in a reasonable amount of time that Holden and I will spend, talking with each other, talking with Natalie and Simon about their work. And the big place where I think there's a lot of unknown about how much time we'll have is disease research. You know, where I think it is possible that we won't have the time to do much disease research because of the time that the international things and the U.S. equality of opportunity will take. At the same time, I can see another scenario where those two go quicker than we expect, and we have a ton of time for disease research. But that's how I see it. Basically, those two things are going to happen simultaneously by different people, and the disease research, which I think requires a lot of holding to me, may not end up happening if we run out of time.
So I just challenge you that, you know, I understand where your priorities are. I don't personally think this is a plan because it doesn't delineate how much time you will be spending on each, like when are you going to cut it off? And I read things like very rough estimate based on very little for timing. It's not super encouraging. I'm not sure how you're going to evaluate your efforts at the end if you don't have, you know, timelines that you're adhering to aside from complete research by September 1st. But, I respect that you guys know what you want to do. I just challenge you to be a little bit more specific in terms of how you're going to do it, and that's all I can really say. Otherwise, I don't have a problem with the content, in the prioritization or the allocation of priorities, because it's not a surprise based on our calls.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that is something that we did talk about and worry about a little when we're putting together the work plan, is that it's, you know, a lot of this, we just have so little idea how to predict how long things should take, and likewise, we're going to have not great ways of going back and evaluating how we spent our time. And I don't really know what to do about that problem because basically, you know, and this is also related to our HR challenges, that I do think we're trying to do something that there isn't a lot of easily comparable stuff out there. So I just, you know, we've done one cause, we're going to do another cause. I can guess that it'll take about as long as the first one. Other than that, I have nothing to go off. I have nothing to benchmark it to. So that's a challenge. But what I can tell you is that, you know, so what we don't have is a great way of, like, looking back on our progress and of seeing whether the progress is good or bad. What we do have is a concrete enough plan, Gesundheit, about when we're going to move on and things like that. Gesundheit, I mean, basically, as of September 1st, whatever we have is what we have, and we're going to then focus on packaging it and doing the same things that we did at the end of 2009. So
yeah, I guess then I come back to a conversation we had at least a year ago, which was around metrics and what metrics are important for us to measure. So if you don't know exactly what you're going to finish by when, fine, but if you know you want more publicity and we believe that doing more will get us more publicity, then we have to measure the publicity. You know, there has to be something measurable in order to be able to evaluate yourself next year. So that's my only challenge to you as you think through this, you know, you've thought through it already, but that's my only challenge to this plan, and I'll leave it there. Others may disagree with that.
Well, I think we have metrics. I want to distinguish between metrics and targets. Like, we know what we want to chart, and we know what we want to look at. So we have all those web metrics, we have all those marketing metrics, and then for research, we are going to look back and see how much we did. You know, we're not going to have much to compare it to or benchmark it to, but we're going to have that. We're going to know how many charities we covered and which causes we did and didn't get done. And also for the research vetting, we're going to know, like, how many people issued an opinion and what the opinions were. What we don't have is targets because we don't know how to benchmark these. We don't know how to make a prediction about what's reasonable. And frankly, I think when we've set targets in the past, it hasn't accomplished anything, and it's mostly just ended up looking silly a year later because we don't know how long things are going to take, so we say, okay, we're going to move $500,000. I mean, it's just that didn't add anything. We knew we were trying to move a lot of money. We knew we were going to measure how much money. Throwing out a target, I don't think accomplished anything.
Oh, I was thinking more about things like, you know, for disease research, we know there are 300 organizations focused on this, and we're going to evaluate half of them this year or something like that. I wasn't necessarily talking about money moves.
But that's what I'm saying, is that the target, and we don't know how many organizations do disease research as part of the research, and we don't know how many we can evaluate. And so that's why we know what the metric is. We're trying to I mean, we're basically trying to cover the cause and cover the organizations in it, and we will succeed or fail, or we'll get partway through, and when we're partway through, we'll have a better estimate of how much is left. So that's the metric, but we don't have the target because we don't know how long it's going to take.
So when do you think that picture is going to solidify? If you spend a month on it, are you going to have a good picture of whether it's 3 months or 9 months left?
For the different causes, it's different. Like, I think for U.S. equality of opportunity, as an example, like, we would know in a it takes a little bit of work now to plan it out and have a better sense of, like, what exactly it takes. With disease research, it's just such a different area that we know so little about that I don't really have any idea. That's why our best estimate is, like, well, in the past, you know, causes have taken us between 6 months and 12 months or 18 months to do, and so that's sort of where I guess disease research would take.
But
so why
past,
have you said September 1st? That sounds totally infeasible to me.
Well, September 1st is not the deadline for completing disease research. September 1st is more a date that we need to keep in mind so that we can move on to doing the things we need to do for the end of the year.
Okay, that, it said complete research, so that was misleading to me.
It's completing the research that we are going to complete this year, and that means, you know, there's three areas of research, U.S. equality of opportunity, additional international aid, and disease research.
Right. You mean stop researching on September.
Yeah, it means stop.
And we want to finish the first two. We want to finish equality of opportunity and international aid. And so if we don't complete those by September 1st, then we'll feel like we've done something wrong. That said, I mean, obviously things can change and we can learn something that makes us want to change that plan. But that's our idea, and I agree, the point, Lindy, that you're making that I agree with and I think is fair is that the only metric we have today for quality of research completed is basically Holden and Ellie saying, this is up to our standards for covering the cause, and hopefully something that we want to accomplish this year, and that's that research vetting area, is having a more, or an outside perspective on the research to say this is quality research and this is good, aside from just us saying so.
Right. I mean, I guess, like you just said, we want to complete the first two this year. We expect to do that. If we don't, we'll think we have failed. I didn't see that anywhere in your plan, as an example. So that's something that you could have put in. We're going to finish these this year.
Okay.
Right? I mean, that just gives a little bit more for us to understand how much you're going to do this year. But I think I've belabored this point, so, you know, that's it.
One question I have is whether... If we're behind schedule, are we going to pull Holden and LA off of disease research to knock off those two causes, which I think is the right thing to do?
Yeah, I think we probably would do that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would say those two causes are those are targets that I think we can reasonably set. We can say we should cover those two causes, we should finish them, and the disease research thing is more of an unknown, a bonus, whatever.
If that's the case, you guys need to set a deadline. Whatever it is, if by, you know, July 15th we're not done with them, Holden and Ellie are doing them too. You know, just set some time frame in your mind to understand.
Well, the time frame is more like being on target to complete them by September 1st.
Okay. As long as you understand what, quote, being on target means.
You have reasonable confidence that you'll recognize on July 15th whether you're on target or not.
We hope so.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, we had one place. I mean, just to
you
give us
hope that you're reasonably confident.
Just to give us,
I hope that we're reasonably.
You know, that's what we had to deal with this year, with having the July 1st deadline. You know, that we changed our course in terms of, you know, the scope of what we thought we could complete. You know, from February through May, as we saw, you know, that we could do more or do less because we wanted to complete the work by that July 1st date. And so I think we'll do the same thing this year.
I mean, I expect it to look like international aid in the sense that, like, for a long time with international aid, we were just like, we have no idea when people asked us what we were doing. You know, like, how long things were going to take. All right, little overstatement there. And then for a time, we had, like, a very specific, like, a super specific plan where we had this, like, spreadsheet that had all these things we were going to do. It had hours estimates. And it turned out to be, like, pretty reasonable. Like, it wasn't perfect, but it was definitely in the ballpark of, you know, It was a fairly good predictor of what we were going to get done and by when. And then, you know, at the end it kind of collapsed and it's just like a list of things we were doing because it was less work. So there was some time of total uncertainty, then there was some time of, like, being very specific, although we did have to make constant modifications.
Can I suggest that we divide either at 3-month intervals or divide November or September 1st by 4, and whatever that puts us out to, sort of three quarters between now and then, to have you guys actually very specifically look at our progress and predict, are we on target where we'd expect to be, and what is our confidence level in getting to September 1st? And part of the reason for doing that then is it gives us something to judge for the following year. We've documented some things about knowing whether, if it looks like this, we are gonna make it. So we get better at our targets and evaluating whether we're on target over time. So presumably we're gonna do the international aid and the equality and opportunity again in 2011 and do some of this, right? So some of that work that we're doing this year, we're going to expect to do some more very similar work in those areas.
That last part is in follow.
So we plan on maintaining those two areas, correct?
Yeah, yeah. Maintaining is very different from what we're doing now.
Right, but I think what Tim's suggesting is that at least it will give you a directional understanding of how long these things will take so we can get better and better at estimating.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it would be reasonable to set a deadline for having better time estimates, a meta deadline, if you will.
Yeah. In an ideal world, I have to say, to be uber critical, like before I expect to see on someone's plan, we are going to look at these two areas, I would at least expect that a little bit of background would be done, like roughly, how many organizations do disease research, as an example.
But the number of organizations is not a key factor in how long something takes.
Or whatever is a key factor, I'd expect a little bit of background.
That's right. So we have some of that. That's sort of where we're coming from with the, I mean, clearly we made some time estimates here that are based on, I would consider very little, but it's roughly trying to put numbers down and think about the things we know that we are going to cover. You know, what units do matter and how many of those units there are and
yeah,
how
we have
long
that.
Those times take, those things take. And that's what's on this, that's what is on this sheet.
The 2010 work plan.
Right. I thought, though, that disease research, based on our conversations also on a monthly basis, I actually thought that disease research would be at the stage next year that international aid was at this year.
Right. And we were hoping that it would be that. But when we thought about what we could realistically get done and we looked at the – what we knew that we wanted – that the top priority should be – or we decided it would be finishing the U.S. and the – international add-ons. Once we saw that we wanted to do those and how long we thought those would take, we didn't think it was realistic anymore to finish disease research this year. And with disease research, we honestly, at this point, have very little idea of what that will entail and how long that will take.
Like, and you totally think that you need to stop doing research September 1st? You don't think one of you can continue on some of the disease research after September 1st?
We might. I mean, this is more of a... I mean, we may do that. I think it'll depend on how much benefit we think we can get from more, from, you know, added focus for the end of the year.
I mean, I would say if we hit September 1st and we think that either, you know, 6 weeks of just one of us or, like, 3 weeks of both of us would finish disease research, right, that would be a huge plus for giving season, so we would do it. But it basically comes down to being ready for giving season. So if we didn't think we could finish it and have something ready for giving season, then we would drop it.
Okay, I just wanted to understand that was a flexible end time if you did see something happening.
Right. Yeah, September 1st is pretty conservative.
Tied into this, it's completely plausible to me that the disease research thing is just not going to work.
Impossible.
And so I'd like to see some very regular reports on your guys' confidence that we are going to, not just by September or the given season or whatever that date is, but ever, are going to be able to produce something that meets the standards that GiveWell's been able to accomplish in other areas. Because, like I said, it's plausible to me that we won't be able to do that. At least without narrowing the scope down dramatically.
That seems clearly possible, but... And I think even likely that what we our output for disease research would look is going to look fundamentally different than our output for international because it's such a different area. But I do think it's unlikely that if you know we play the role of donors trying to figure out where to give, that we can't significantly improve on the you know what donors know and what they consider when they decide where to give from you know knowing nothing about the area.
Do you have a rough plan for example, for disease research of at least, you know, in the next few weeks, who you're going to talk to get a sense of this field?
Wendy, just, you know, Greg just walked in. Greg, can you just say hi to get the voice with the name?
Hi.
That's Greg.
That'll mean all it.
So have you guys thought about an initial plan of how you're going to scan this environment? Like who you're going to speak with, et cetera? Have you laid any of that out?
Only very roughly. I mean, the way that we've started and...
Well, hang on. The answer is yes, right? I mean, we have like a giant plan written up on a wiki. When he says roughly, he means like it's not something that we could email to you and you'd have an easy time following it. He doesn't mean like we haven't laid it out, right?
We have
so you have
questions.
Identified people in the area of cancer or whatever that you're going to talk to.
It just depends what question. I mean, we have thought a lot about how we are going to pursue this question. You know, how are we going to figure out ways to do disease research? We've written up a lot of the questions we're trying to answer. And so we have that. We don't have a plan that we are going to, like, check down and follow. We don't have a list of people we want to talk to, largely because we're not sure who the people are that we are even relevant to talk to at this point, because one of the first things we need to figure out is who's asking questions that are similar to the ones we're asking, which I think we can accomplish more effectively than, you know, sort of just trying to talk to different people.
So I'd like to take this part offline, but I would very much, very strongly suggest that our next monthly meeting be focused on understanding what your plan is to pursue this area.
Okay.
I mean, I think the people that are on that call may have, I know a lot of people in the medical field like who do research. I think that we need to get people on the phone with you to start researching this. I mean, we need to have a plan for that. So you guys doing some of this research is fine, but there are many experts out there that we can connect to. So we can take that part offline. I think it's too detailed for a board meeting, but I would really like to have that on our next call.
Okay.
It's already March, right? So,
Greg, what did you read?
Nothing.
Okay. That was the prediction.
So,
unfortunately. So, do you want to? Can we catch you up or something? I mean, what do you?
Yeah, let's not waste everybody's time. So,
okay.
Sure. I mean, I think I'll just add what I can as you go.
Okay.
And just keep moving as you would.
Okay. Well, just let me just put out the super top level. It's in the agenda, but you know, we're doing our annual review and plan. The review says we've made a lot of progress, you know, in terms of, like, for giving season, traffic was significantly.
You know, by the way, just in Kelly and John tell me, I don't know if you know me and you email them, but they said that they had nothing, and so I didn't have it in my stuff, which is.
Oh, okay.
The only way, like, I don't
okay.
know if it's in
okay.
my stuff, and so I'm sure if I came to me personally, but if it's.
Yeah, no, you're right. It may not have gone to them.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So, what was it? Okay, so we do think there's been a lot of progress, you know, in kind of the website metrics and money metrics for giving season.
Generally, I've been the website
okay.
relatively recently, and
okay.
I went back and read a bunch of stuff during that, so anyway, I know what things
are. I mean, like, the meat of the annual review was blogged. So there were, like, four blog posts, and that was most of what we sent out was just a copy of that.
Okay.
And then there were some supporting materials. So Greg's read everything, all right?
We didn't read the insurance policy.
Yeah, Greg, did you read the full insurance policy? Because we're doing an insurance review at this meeting, and everyone else read every word of it.
Yeah.
It's a joke.
I'm
lying
about it.
Big time.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we had other stuff, but it was, you know, supporting materials.
So I thought it was great. I hadn't been there
okay.
in a long time.
Okay.
So anyway, I went. I thought the blogs were good, well-written.
Good.
I thought the experience, the user experience was good.
Are you talking about, like, the recent blog posts on, like, you know, research, or are you talking about the blog posts that were our annual review? Or are you talking about both?
I'm talking about both. So
okay.
But now I'm talking about, I didn't, I'm
right,
talking about
actual
the
work.
Website, but, like,
okay.
I had, the website had changed.
Right, okay, okay,
since
good.
The time I had
right.
been paying a lot of attention to it,
right.
I thought it was worth better, and I thought the quality of the blogs in general, by reading back all through the blogs that I had missed.
Good.
Assessments.
Thanks. Okay, so if we could just get back to, I mean, it does seem like people are mostly in sync on what we said in our review, and people are mostly in agreement on the review, and what people are doing right now is challenging the plan at a fairly detailed, you know, not at the highest level of, like, we're going to focus on research, but kind of questioning, do we have a specific enough work plan? Do we know how we're spending our hours? To the extent we don't, do we have a plan for knowing when we're going to know more? Which I think is a good thing that I'm writing down, that we should, you know, I would say, like, within 2 months, we should be at that spreadsheet level with all the causes where we, like, know exactly what we have to do and how many hours it takes. And, of course, those spreadsheets change a lot over time, but that's, you know, we should have a realistic sense of what people agree.
Looking in the eye and doing it.
All right.
Okay.
Other plan questions?
Can I just return quickly to the my ongoing dubiousness that the disease research thing isn't going to have to be dramatically rescoped? So,
I mean, I think that's a total possibility. One issue with disease research is we don't know what scope even means, which is why we haven't been that clear about the scope. Because, it, you know, what Ellie's finding is that, like, we go in asking, you know, does it make sense to think about, should I fund this disease or that disease? But then when you look at actual research funding, at least in certain sectors, it doesn't work that way at all, that people will just, you know, dress
you're
up.
You're doing some, like, basic biology, though, and you
right.
need to claim it's any disease.
Right. And so then the question is, do I fund this area of biology or that area of chemistry? And it's a you know, so we don't even know what scope means until we've done more work. So that's why, like, yeah, so we're totally flexible on the scope, and we're that's what I would include in the, like, 2 months from now. We need a spreadsheet, we need to know what we're doing, and we need more of a plan, but... You know, I think there's nothing wrong with using the word disease research now and what we're actually doing.
Yeah, I'm not saying we shouldn't use the word disease research. I want to know when we're going to have some sense of whether we're barking up the wrong tree and this is a bad choice and we need to readjust what we're doing.
Well, 2 months, I think, we'll have a to-do list on this cause. And it's possible that instead of a to-do list, we'll just have given up, but I don't think that will happen.
So you mean, like, in 2 months you'll have that, but within the next month at our strategy meeting you're going to have a plan? Right?
What?
You'll have a plan in a month.
Within the next, we already have a plan. Like, we have a plan of things Ellie's doing to form a plan. So at the next strategy meeting we can discuss that, but in 2 months we'll actually have a plan, not just a meta plan.
Right, okay, but we, I mean, I, for one, maybe we as a strategy oversight steering committee, whatever, would like to have a good understanding of how you're going
to
do this.
Yeah, so we were going to just talk about that at our next call, which I guess
right.
is going
to
be
but that's the meta plan, just to be clear.
Right.
We don't yet have a plan, we have a plan to have a plan, and that we can share with you.
Well, I
don't
have
well.
A plan to have a plan.
All right.
Well, I'd like to get 10 minutes or 15 minutes out of each of these monthly calls and just get an update on where things stand. So that's planning.
Well,
initial research.
Yeah, we just want to talk about what you guys want to talk about, so we can hear about research.
Yeah. That satisfies my issue with the disease research meta plan.
All right.
So that the call will be is going to be next Tuesday, which would be our normally scheduled call.
Oh, damn it! Can we make it a week later?
Can we make?
Wait, next Tuesday? I thought you were going to cancel that one.
Yeah, but if people
want,
okay. Does it work for everyone?
Take it a week later, please. I'm going to be in the UK for work.
Well, I mean, it works for me if it works for everyone else here.
It's going to be
make
like
it a week
morning.
Later.
I don't have a clue in 2 weeks from Tuesday.
Well,
I'll
send out the email.
Okay.
Okay.
What date is that?
16th.
Okay.
Other thoughts on the plan?
I mean, I raised this on our last call, and I think it's one of potentially the biggest issues, which is, you know, I think how to leverage you guys better is a key issue. You raised this as the HR problem before, Holden, and, you know, I think it's, there is potentially a lot that can be done. You guys are critical of the process, and that's good and bad, and that you're the bottleneck, too. And I don't know how we address that. I mean, I think if there are ways to think about redefining the research process in a way where you can, you know, you can make it more formal, as you mentioned in the document, and kind of, you know, create sort of an assembly line process in some way. I think that deserves some exploration because I think it is potentially a big problem.
Well, I would call it one of the top priorities for GiveWell and something we're working toward. But I think the way we work toward it is by, like, doing what we're doing. You know, it's like we're trying to have Natalie take over more and more of the international aid updating. We can't do that with disease research because we don't even know what we're doing. But that's the whole point, is that we have to, you know, do that work and know what we're doing, and then we're going to try and have someone else take that over. So we have another contractor coming on, and we have another one who were, like, not sure exactly what we're going to do with yet, but these are two people who we think are pretty good and capable of doing independent work. But, you know, there's like, it's something we're working on, but it only moves at such and such a pace. Another topic that I may as well throw out there is that this is definitely related, is that I was reflecting on how I spend my time, and I do, like, spend time on things that, I mean, we're not particularly money-constrained right now, and it does, like, I definitely spend time doing things that, like, you know, lots of other people can do better, and I have to track it better and create a little report on it. Like, one thing I know is that we pay for bookkeeping services, but they are so limited, and there's all this stuff I have to do with keeping our books that, like, there's no reason it has to be me. And, like, if we have, like, an in-house accountant, they can save me so much time, but we don't actually have enough work to employ them full-time. Plus, that would be a ton of money. So, like, if there was if there was such thing as a part-time accountant who acted, like, in-house in terms of, like, handling sensitive stuff and, you know, and doing lots of things that our outsourcing people won't do, that would be nice. Anyway,
that be combined with other administrative duties?
No. I mean, what I'm saying is there's a whole lot of stuff I do that other people could do, and one example is accounting that our outsourced accountant won't do.
So I understand, but I'm
right.
Saying could you find someone with bookkeeping skills who could do that in addition to other administrative
right.
things, so you wouldn't need someone part-time and we could hire an admin person?
Right, potentially.
We don't think we have a full-time admin responsibility.
I don't think we do either, but that's one of the things I need to do a better job tracking.
And that's a fairly common, like a one-day-a-week accountant is all who's in here.
Okay. I did look a bit. Let's talk a little bit about it after.
Okay.
Or if you just have a referral. Because that's what I want. Like, we have a book. Like, I did this whole process. I, like, asked around. I was like, we want to outsource our accounting.
Give you somebody that would come in one day a week and just do accounting one day a week. Or that doesn't serve your purpose.
No, that should be good. It just depends exactly what it means.
Okay.
I mean,
I mean, just going back to the research process for a second, do you have a vision for what the model is if this is a much bigger organization and, you know, there's the opportunity? I mean, is it basically you two and a lot more Natalie? Is it three of you and a bunch of people sort of doing the kinds of things Natalie's doing? I mean, is there a different model?
I think, like, the model that I would guess is going to happen is basically, like, you know, yeah, with, you know, us and a bunch of Natalie. I think it's pretty reasonable.
Tom, I actually...
I didn't mean to imply that you could be
Tom, I disagree a little bit. Well, not disagree, but I'm not uncomfortable maybe like you are. I was very comforted over the past couple of months in conversations with Holden and Ellie, and also based on this plan to feel like the research process is becoming more and more institutionalized, and as we explore new areas, these things are solidifying. To me, it's less important is someone else doing it than... is someone else doing it, and are we documenting how it's done? Because, you know, training Natalie or Simon or whomever is great, but, you know, these people will all move on to other things. So to me, it's a little bit more important if we're documenting the how, and I get the sense that that is being done to some extent, but I think that the institutionalization of this process is happening at a rate that's acceptable.
Yeah, I think there's sort of, there's certainly related issues, but I think there's sort of two issues. One is simply a process that can generate more research faster, and the other is, you know, creating, you know, separating the research function and the research institutional knowledge from the persons of Holden and Ellie.
Yeah, but even on the first issue, I have become more convinced that each area is nuanced and different enough that it's not just like we can say, okay, here's the GiveWell process, let's scale it to any topic. I feel like it is in the early stages, so we have to say each topic might be unique. We need the talent of the co-founders to try and figure out what that should look like, and only then can we start to scale it to, say, new organizations within a particular area, and maybe after doing this, you know, 10 times or 8 times or 5 times, whatever that magic number is, can we start to say, okay, now someone else can do this in new topics.
Yep. Well, yeah, I mean, if that happens organically, that's great. And I realize we're not there yet. I just think we need to keep an eye on that.
Yeah.
So, okay, we can move on.
Other thoughts?
We're getting close to our 2 hours.
I wanted to ask about Hewlett.
Okay.
And my only question is, they were going to do this customer survey or philanthropy survey that we thought might be quite informative. I know you talked a bit about customers and customer research in the plan. Are they still doing it?
Yeah.
Are we having a part in it? If not, do we actually think that we're going to do any market research this year realistically?
They're doing it. We took a look at their survey. We made a lot of comments. They took a lot of our comments. So we think there's potential in that.
When do they think it's, I mean, it's pretty soon we'll have the information, right? Like, in terms of, like, months, sort of.
Right. So I certainly would not be launching. I mean, we always want to collect information on our customers through our website surveys, and we do that. But I would not be, you know, I would not be launching some outsourced market research project right now.
Because this is sufficient.
These guys are, I mean, it's, like, something that's worth a shot.
Yeah.
Would you share what the...
They're trying to, I mean, basically, when I talked to their people, they said, you know, we don't think anyone has done even, like, decent market research in philanthropy, period, ever, and we're going to try and do it. And I was like, great, that's exactly what I think. So, you know, they're going to basically survey people on how much did you give last year, where did you give it, how do you choose your charities, what factors are important to you, and, you know, all the stuff we've always wanted to know.
Is there any component of it that deals with actual behavior versus...
They
ask people, they don't do exactly the way I wish they could do it, but, you know, they say, like, how many gifts did you give last year, how much money, name, like, five organizations or something, and now let's talk about your biggest gift or something, you know, how did that go? So they are trying to do that, not just kind of generally ask people about their attitudes towards giving. How much time did you spend on giving?
Right.
Are you interested in this cause? If not, well, why doesn't
Wasn't
this
that a question? But they're using it. How much time did you spend researching?
I think it was our question, and they kind of was
next. Okay.
But they're not doing anything about verifying that people actually do behave in the way.
Yeah, that's what we told
you
them.
You mean
to
like
do.
Going to tax?
Yeah, well, that's what we said. We said, why don't you go to the, like, get the people's tax returns or receipts?
It seems like a little bit of a hard sell.
Well, I mean, less that, but the behavioral economics research.
You have to, when you
participate in the survey, you can win an iPod Shuffle.
No, but if you see what those guys in California do, if you itemize in your taxes, you have to say which charities you gave to, right?
Yes.
But it's not.
So you could just go, I think you could get that stuff from there.
What's that?
I unfortunately
to me, that question about how much they actually gave is a lot less important than this is a classic example of where people either lie or deceive themselves about how they make decisions, right? So when you remind them that they gave $10,000 to something, they will begin believing that they spent a lot more time making that decision than they actually did. And there's lots of behavioral economics research on stuff like this on major decisions that shows that people don't do what they tell you they did, even if they truly believe that they did. That once they're reminded of the consequences of their decision, they invent how rational they were in making it.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, okay.
So I'm just asking, they're not planning on doing anything like that. It's purely sort of self-reported behavior.
Yeah, it's self-reported behavior.
But it's more information than we currently have.
Yeah, I'm not faulting it. I'm just trying to understand what it is that we're getting.
Yeah,
It's a medium survey, you know, not a bad survey.
Right.
Just right.
What surveys affect?
Not too bad.
What are you really interested in, and how would it affect you?
I mean, one big question that I'm not, like, super-duper interested in, but that a lot of other people are interested in and would be, like, an important part of our picture is, like, how big is the market for GiveWell? Like, the latent market, you know what I mean? Because I think I am not so concerned about this question because I think a lot of what we have to do is change attitudes and change the discourse, and also I think there's going to be a generational shift that works in our favor. So, like, taking, you know, winning a certain position in the discussion of charity is worth a lot more money than it's worth today. So those are all reasons that I'm not, like, obsessed with this question. But a lot of people really want to know, you know, what is the latent demand for GiveWell? How many people are out there who could potentially be reached?
And then the secondary question is, how would you reach them? So what is their demographic profile? What do they read? Where do they get their information? How can you, you know, find them? And I think the second group of questions is not really being focused on, but this survey is like sort of a first stage. It's like, let's find that market, find how big it is, and then think about how to, you know, figure out how to target it.
Are they getting at what causes people care about?
Yeah, that too. Yeah, that's a big thing. What causes people care about who actually could be reached by us, right? So that, mm-hmm. That's important, and that will come right out of the survey.
But is there a sketch, and are you doing it?
Yeah, we have a document on this, so I'll go over that before we do this.
It.
No.
I thought we were transparent.
Yeah. Well, I mean, our comp is
public. I mean, if everybody else knows it, we can talk about it without.
I mean, I think it's useful for Holden to just hit the highlights real quick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's not much to discuss. We've written a lot about our performance over the last year, so as far as, you know, evaluation and what, you know, whether we've earned it or whatever, hopefully we've covered all those issues. And so all we're really doing is proposing a cost of living increase based on CPI inflation since June 2007 that takes us from $65,000 a year to $67,500 a year, and that is not including the health benefits. That's the proposal. And we did a review of similar organizations. This is something that council advised me was like kind of a key thing to do for a compensation review. You're supposed to find three similar organizations and see what people in similar positions make. This was very hard for us because, you know, it's hard to think of who's a similar organization to us, but we did the best we could, and we explained how they're similar and how they're different, and so we listed them, and what we're asking for, I think, is falls within the range pretty reasonably.
Goldman Sachs and those organizations are similar.
Yeah. I mean, most of the organizations are, like, bigger than us in some way and make more than us, so, you know, but I think if you look at the numbers, we're, you know, it makes our numbers look reasonable. What's important is that you look at them, you make
in the best case for us, just make, like, sort of the salaries being in the reasonable range of the survey data we have, which we didn't
right.
update, but it's, like, for small nonprofits with this, like, $400,000 to $700,000 range of budget, which, you know, is higher than ours, though it depends how you count our, you know, our budget and our money move, you know, they're in that $70,000 range. So that seems like we're not thinking anything crazy.
Right.
So are you guys going out of the room?
Why don't you guys leave and we'll talk?
Okay.
We had a conversation about the recommendation and about other data inputs that we have, the situation of other nonprofits and of the overall economy. We do think that a cost of living increase is very well merited and approve that. We also believe that both of you have improved your skills, matured in your management a great deal, and that we think it is worth commending to say that, you know, a year ago we were debating whether you guys had experienced enough growth to be reinstated. It's very clear that you have exceeded that this year, and there are very noticeable and measurable improvements that have been made to the organization and the way you guys are managing it. And as such, we've also approved an additional $2,500 performance increase for the two of you.
Thank you.
I was going to present that in the form of a
giant check.
That was great. Yeah. I was loud as presenter because of how you planned to present it.
I was going to do it as a Monty Hall dilemma, where you had to choose between a remote commendation, actual money, and nothing, and see how you react.
Commendation, money, and nothing.
It was also suggested you may say no thanks.
But you
we didn't think that was
really
okay.
No, if you push money on me, I think I'll take it.
If it's really
right.
So why did you recommend what you thought was right?
What? I don't, well, I'd have to think about it a little more.
So I'd just say, so anyway, one of the other conversations I think is worthy of a moment on this is who should be making this decision.
Right.
It's all my advice, but I hadn't been thinking about it as, like, in any way. I think that the board was by and large of the assessment that the board should be making this decision and not putting on you to make.
Right.
Anyway, I would expect you guys to come with what you think is right and one of the other, but everybody here thinks you're unbelievably talented and you're worth it. Like,
thanks.
It's just an impossible kind of situation to, like, talk about what are you actually worth. And so the reason I said you might say no is I assume that you'll just tell us what you think you think we should do, and I think you should operate that way on everything, including your compensation.
Right.
So if we're, like, anyway, I assume that the different, like, we all know you're critical to the organization. If this was the big deal, one way or the other, that you would let us know.
That's
because
certainly
we
true.
Have that kind of relationship,
right.
And that you'll do that. And
right.
when you recommend something, it's what you think we should do, whether it's about you
right.
or about something else. Those are my expectations. And also, if you have expectations for the board
right.
of what we're supposed to be doing, then you're also clear about those.
Okay. Well, let me, one thing maybe I should have made more clear. Like, I did, yeah, I came in with what I thought was the right thing because part of the reason for me, part of it is just, okay, you know, cost of living adjustment is the easiest thing to do, and we aren't putting a huge amount of mental energy into this. We're just not. Because, you know, I think my salary's okay. I don't think it's excessive, but I'm also not hurting, so we didn't think about it that hard. But another thing, you know, I'm just thinking about, like, big round numbers. Our comp is public.
So anyway,
right.
So that's the other possibility, though. I think it would either come in with what you think is right, or
right.
tell us, look, I don't think I can tell you, like, you guys should determine what's right, but we sort of all, like, I don't know, anyway.
I guess I just felt like I made my best suggestion, but it wasn't something I thought very hard about, and so when you guys said something else, I didn't feel like getting into another argument, and especially
but,
since you're,
but that's how I say that. I know,
pushing
right,
more money
like,
on me.
A public number,
right.
And how much is it? So anyway, I mean, I think it all makes sense.
I didn't weigh that heavily. Like all I'm saying is, like, there wasn't a lot of mental energy put into this. Like, you know, cost of living increase, we make more money, but we're not at 70 grand yet. Okay, done, handed in, and then the board says something, and I'm thinking, all right, well, they think, you know, they would like to pay me more. That's good. I like that. Also, if I you know, start getting into a big argument, it's a big argument, and none of it seems worth it because Givewell can afford it and I can afford it. So that's all that's going through my head. But, I mean, I did sit there for a second in silence because I'm thinking a little bit about that public comp thing and wondering if I just want to sleep on this and maybe, you know, ask you guys to walk that back. That is something that I, you know, haven't, like, totally ruled
out. Well, I mean, the way I feel about it, and this is what I said at the meeting in December, is, like, it seems like Givewell should sort of pay me right now what I'm, like, happy to take, and the only reason we did the cost of living thing was that it's like Lindsay suggested, it seemed kind of logical. At the same time, like, it seems to me like my basic cost of living is not really rising. It's, you know, it's like very minimally, but in terms of, like, reality, it's the same. And so sort of the way that I always thought about handling the comp and thinking about the salary was, like, there's startup Givewell, which we're still in, and so we just kind of make the salary and don't bump it up unless there's a real reason. And then if Givewell gets a lot bigger, then we think about how, you know, we should be compensated. And so, I mean, I don't know. I almost feel like that it just seems fine to me to stick where we were. And
you guys are really crazy.
I cannot
actually believe that we're having this conversation.
And Lindy, it's just the way that we behave. So, like, we were having this, so I won't argue this. Like,
now we're gonna have another argument.
it's just the attitude that I take and I think Holden takes towards Givewell is that, like, we're not trying to maximize the, like, what we get from Givewell, like, in a lot of different ways. Like, Holden had his trip where he gave Givewell a lot and it was a good deal for Givewell, and we do other things like that where we're not really trying to, you know, get Givewell down to the last dollar. And so to me, it's like adding 2,500 or 5,000. Yeah, like, I mean, surely the reason I didn't argue back is I'm like, oh, that's good. More money. That's nice. At the same time, it just seems like I don't operate towards Givewell in the way of, like, give me an extra couple thousand dollars. Like, it just seems, and I don't really have a sense for what the comp should be. So.
Well, you guys gave us data, which was what others have been earning, and, you know, it seems that $70,000 is not out of line, and to the extent that, you know, this is the first time, I guess, you're getting a raise, really, like, significant, I don't know, at least in the last 2 years, The thinking was that there has been, you know, as Tim said, significant progress on a number of fronts, and that you shouldn't come to expect this on an annual basis, but that there should be a reward for performance.
So let me just say, when I was thinking about how to respond, I was thinking, well, maybe this is a bad idea, but I at least want to sleep on it. Don't want to get into another argument. And then because I didn't say anything, we're now in an argument about why I didn't argue with you, because I should have come in with what I thought was the right thing in the first place. That's it.
Well, I'm
just trying to... I also like to say that, Lindy, you owe me dinner.
I owe you dinner?
Why?
Because I'm the one who said they would talk about turning it down, and you said they're not.
I said they would be crazy if they did. I didn't say they wouldn't.
Anyway, we might talk about that for now.
We did trigger it. I don't think it's fair.
We don't deserve much credit.
They don't deserve the credit.
Now we're not even sure. It's like, do we have to argue?
I think it's appropriate to move on.
But I think, though, that the other point, though, that you're coming, even on personal issues, that you're coming with what you think. And so if you're saying you didn't think about it or whatever, okay, but it is of reasonable significance. And so anyway, we just want to make sure that we're clear on that, and that it's not operating some other way.
Right.
That you're because me or whatever.
I wasn't sitting here hoping for the board to make some other raise. I'm not, you know, if I need more money at some point, I'll be clear about that.
Yeah, no, I don't, at least I would not ever suggest that this was like a latent wish of either of you guys.
Okay. So what is it? Is there a question or can we?
There's not.
I mean, the board has made a decision. You guys should be grateful and move on with your lives.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Okay.
Forget it. I lost all credibility in this conversation.
So can we move on or is there other questions?
Yes, please.
Okay. So we've got 4 minutes to spare on that topic, and now we've got 14 instead of 10 to talk about insurance. I don't really think there's anything to say about insurance. I just, you know, I looked over all the different kinds of insurance you can have, and I'm happy with what we have. That's right.
Yeah.
There's no employee theft, so if someone has a problem with that.
We did have someone tell us that, you know, the libel or slander insurance that we have is a reasonable number, you know?
Yeah.
But the thing we haven't done, which we arguably should do or could do, is have someone look at the thing we were talking about the other day, look at the text on our site and tell us, like, what are the words that we have to be careful about using and what are the, like, we try to be very careful. So my expectation would be they would say, you guys are fine, you're not making any factual,
right.
You're, like, rarely making negative factual claims, so no one could ever sue you. But it'd be good to know if we're, like, saying anything that could be dangerous down the line. That seems like a reasonable step.
Yeah, that's not really an insurance point, but it's, I don't know. Do you want to do that anytime soon?
Well, could we, I mean, is that something that Rebecca could do?
I could ask her. I mean, I would guess she would
Rebecca
be,
being...
she's a attorney that Greg set us up with who helps us, stuff like that.
I mean, it's partially an insurance issue because it speaks to the fact of whether our slander libel insurance
right.
is appropriate.
Is this going to change this year? I mean, Ellie, are you still planning on moving to New York?
Yeah, I'm planning to. Well, this is something we haven't discussed at all with the board, except what
right.
we discussed sort of one-off is.
I mentioned,
you know,
on the train.
I'm planning to move to New York. Tali graduates in May, and we're planning to move to New York then because she has a job at a law firm, and so we'll be in New York for the summer. But her job was deferred, and so one of the things, till January 2011, so one of the things that she and I have talked about, and now Holden and Natalie have also talked about, is moving abroad for some period of time, you know, not some period of time, like September through January, to, like, either the two of us move, and Holden and Natalie are here, and we're having, like, a super virtual organization, or all of us just go and work in India for 4 months. And this is not something that what our plan was we've sort of very basically thought through the main issues and think it's going to work with GiveWell and won't cause any major problems and that we can reasonably deal with any of the contingencies that might occur. But we wanted to, like, put that together and present it to the board to see if there are any, you know, if other people had major problems.
I'm sorry. That's not what I was actually trying to get to. What I was trying to get to is if you guys are moving to New York and there will be a need for an office at some point, that might change our insurance requirements. That's
right,
all
that's
I was
true.
Actually getting to.
That is true. And that would also be true if we were abroad and had an office there.
Correct.
So I can't even imagine. Well,
So, sorry, I didn't mean to open a kettle of fish, but that's...
No, that was a good thing to mention. I mean, I mentioned it on the train. It's a good thing for you guys to be aware of. I don't think it's worth a huge discussion now. I think we want to come up with something more concrete. And it would likely be... But, I mean, one good thing is, you know, it would be probably in the developing world or with, you know, easy access to places that are relevant to international aid, and so that would be cool to be there for a while.
I mean, there, in terms of you relocating to India, doing that during giving season, I would say
right.
There's no way I would think it's a good idea for neither of you to be here from December 1st
right.
to December
1st. No, that's something I was thinking. Like, one of us might, I might come back for, like, just December or something.
Yeah.
Then I would be the one getting all the media, so think about that.
Secondarily, it could in fact be hugely problematic because you guys are drawing a salary while resident of another country, and that could,
okay.
particularly in places like India, where you might know that it's not really easy to handle things like business taxes. And but in that regard, I'm perfectly happy with our current insurance situation.
So we covered everything you guys want to cover?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have 9 minutes left. Who wants to play Ghost?
I am so deflated at the end of this call, I have to tell you.
Deflated?
Deflated.
Why?
Because of the salary discussion.
The what?
She thought she knew how the world works. That was very, yeah.
What did she think was, what did she think was wrong?
Both you? Is that weird?
What did she say that turned out to be wrong?
They can't tell us.
Well, wait. You said that, that you might not accept the pay raise. She said, no, that's impossible. And I said, you know these guys. Then she cut out. I'm not sure if you heard my comment, but then that was, anyway, then it turned out that it went that way. But we triggered it. It's not clear. I don't think you were that far off.
Yeah.
While you're on the phone, can I just recommend a couple of things that I think we need to talk about on the strategy call?
Sure.
Based on this conversation, I think we need to, I know, Holden, you said that you'll have a plan for a plan. I personally think that's insufficient. I mean, I think you really need to spend some time over the next 2 weeks and think about not necessarily what the plan will be, i.e. we'll have X by this date, but exactly how you're going to figure out what it is you're going to focus on, what kinds of people do you need to talk to, who are the kinds of experts, blah, 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 what you're going to read, how you're going to find out this information. I want some details. I don't think your plans generally have enough details for me to be comfortable with the execution.
Oh, yeah, maybe I should stop you there. I mean, when I say plan for a plan, that's what I mean, and it's pretty detailed
okay.
right now.
So
right?
I want to talk about that.
I don't think so. I don't think you want to give Lindy what Lindy expects. And Lindy, I don't think that it's something that we can give you. I mean, we may not spend time on this much in the next 2 weeks because of what our priorities are. And I also think that, like, I think that what seems to me would be a more reasonable thing to offer you is the approach we've taken in the past when we started causes and tell you that.
Yeah, but I want something a little more detailed, i.e., what disease areas are you even considering?
But that may just not be the way that it works. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
the
let
unit,
me just tell you what we have, and then if you want something else.
Well, no, let's park it to the next conversation. You guys do the best thing you think you can do.
But I don't want to agree to doing the best thing I can do because I don't think that, like, sort of broadly what you're asking is something I can do.
Okay, let's bring the razors back up again.
I think it would be helpful to outline what we have. We have a page that's very detailed about, like, the next 20 things we're going to look into. And we expect after those 20 things to have a totally different view of the cause and a totally different idea of the next 20 things from there. And after two months of this, we expect to have a very detailed plan of what we're going to do, and that's how international aid works. So if that's what you have in mind, great. If you think we need something else, that would be something maybe we should talk about.
Okay, well, one of the things that you guys have identified as a weakness repeatedly, and in your plan and what have you, is the lack of communication that you've had with experts who can really vet some of your work. And I think it's important that we identify up front, you only have 6 months at least until you're going to stop researching this year, presumably. I think it's important that you identify up front how you're going to target some of those people to inform these steps that you're taking.
But the biggest, I mean, one of the biggest things we've learned, the biggest place we're talking about experts is experts looking at our work once it's complete and checking if it's okay. And the biggest thing that I've learned in doing the causes we've done is that we don't know who the experts are until the very end of the process. Like, it's very difficult.
Oh, and we're not ready to talk to them. Like, I talked to some really good people at, like, the beginning of the International Aid Report, and it just,
even
that was
better. In the beginning of the International Aid Report was, like, I don't even know, like, way ahead of where we were in disease research, where we really are just, like, we know nothing at this point.
Yeah.
And we don't know who the people are that are thinking about things at all in the way we are. Like, we talked to a few kind of people like that we are close to because we think we get different perspectives, but we're not at a stage where I could even say, like, professor of X or person that works at place Y would be particularly useful.
We have friends who are, like, interesting to get their perspectives because they know stuff about this, and this is especially true of disease research because we have, like, friends who do research. But, like, talking to an expert is much more of a thing where it's, like, you want to make sure to do it at the right time. You want to be prepared. You want to have opinions that you give them and hear their view. If you just go open-ended, you're going to get nothing, and we've done it.
Okay, so I'm not going to argue with you guys. Like, clearly you're going to do, you know, what you had your best experience with. But I want to know what that plan is because I'm not convinced this is, like, I just want to know what that plan is, and I think others might as well.
Right.
But that's what I described, like a list of 20 things Ellie's going to do, and then
so
we're going to have a different picture.
Present us with that list.
Okay. That we can do.
The other thing is that I think we need this year, in my view, to start institutionalizing some of these, not institutionalizing is the wrong word. We talk about performance evaluations. I do not think this year's plan had enough sort of concrete goals or timing to be able to evaluate next year whether it was on target or not. And I know we discussed it and we're all fine with it for now, but I would like to work with you guys or whomever wants to work on this over the next year to start to think about how we can become more concrete even in unexplored areas.
Okay. I mean, I think we've talked about that topic enough at this meeting, but we're certainly, you know, certainly open to talk about it more.
I'd like to talk about it with you, not in reflection on this plan, but in thinking through the next year. And, you know, we talked on this call about compensation and rewarding you. I think it would be much easier if that process was somewhat institutionalized and we could say, okay, you performed on X, Y, and Z, you know, dimensions, and we can easily evaluate that, and X, Y, and Z are associated with some sort of comp increase of A, B, and C. And I think having that kind of process in place over time will be helpful not just for you guys, but also for other people within the organization. So I'd like to talk about that kind of stuff, not necessarily on the call, but also as a go-forward thing, and we talked a little bit about it when you guys weren't in the room. So I think that might be worthwhile. And if others are interested, we can do it on the call.
I'm open to disagreement with that. I philosophically disagree because I think you've got to look backwards at what were the quality of the decisions because there's so much change in so many decisions and that over-planning it won't actually work. So that's basically my view. I don't know. Maybe there's a way to plan it that will work, but everything they're saying about how they how big a deal we're making out of it or whatever, but I think we've covered.
I mean, I took your position earlier, and I think we've been over this topic in this meeting. I think we should agree that I'm open to talking with Lindy more about this. But yeah, I mean, I'm in agreement kind of with what Greg said. I'm like, I'm not very, I don't feel like this is a real promising thing that we're going to be, you know, that we're going to be in the short term setting targets and making things, you know, the way you're describing them, but I'm open to talking about it more, and I think we can leave it at that.
Okay, adjourn the meeting.
All in favor?
Meeting is adjourned.
All right.
All right, guys, thank you.